Hello and welcome back, everybody. We are on episode 4 or 5, somewhere in there. I really don't know. Time is a social construct. And honestly, I don't remember what episode number this is. I do remember this conversation. And this is with one of my good friends in music. This guy is, he's done a lot of talented things. He's a man of many talents, some things that you may know, some things you may not know. But what I can tell you is this man has been in music for ever. I mean, as long as I have been working in music. I think I met him about a year or so, and we actually talked about this a little bit in our podcast together. So you'll hear it in a little bit about when him and I first met. And I want to say it was almost 10 years ago. We think it was either 2011 or 2012. We're not entirely sure, so it could be longer than that. I don't think it is, because I started working in music in the summer of 2010, going into my junior year of high school. So it would have been a year or so after that. And that sounds about right. So we're going to stick with that. We're going to roll with that. We're going to hope that's right. Otherwise, we lied to everybody. But who knows? So this week's episode comes with John James Ryan. And he's been all around the world and back with his own band, touring with other bands. We believe we first met when he was working with the Wonder Years. And now he's actively working as a tour manager for 4 Years Strong, while also balancing being in his own band, Keep Flying, who's actually currently on tour with Real Big Fish. And They're touring nonstop as well. So him being in his own band and him working with 4 Years Strong, it opened up a lot of room for a great conversation on just how he balances it all. And you hear a little bit about how little he's at home, and he talks about it. And it's interesting when you start to think about just not only how much bands travel, but how much, of course, their crew does, and how much their crew does things outside of that own band, right? So you get a bit of an interesting perspective with John, as someone that's, again, he's been around forever. There's not many better people that I could have talked to kind of get some insight just into how the life of a career tour manager works. You know, and sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's, you know, great, sometimes it's easy. You know, and we talk a little bit about that, and we talk about some of his best experiences with bands, and who he, you know, who's treated him really well over the years. So you hear us talk a little bit about that. Something you won't hear, just as a heads up, is we don't really dwell on the negative aspects of it. And if you do know John, if you don't know John, that's kind of how he is as a person. He tries to stay positive, and we try to keep things in a positive outlook. And so that's a lot about what we talk about. And if you listen to this podcast before, I want to kind of point out this was recorded the same way that the previous one was, with Eric from Heart Attack Band. So we did it over the phone. So if you'll hear obviously it's been over a phone conversation, so that audio quality kind of shifts to that a little bit after this intro and the ad is done. Outside of that, it's a great conversation. Him and I, you'll hear it as well. We split up into two parts. We did two different conversations because the phone call dropped. So just for full disclosure, get ready for that. But I'll make you aware of it once we get to that point. I'll put a little audio, little blip in there just to let you know we're shifting to the next part of the conversation. And it'll be seamless. It's like you won't even notice. So anyway, coming up after this ad is my conversation with John James Ryan, tour manager. Oh, man, I could list off all the things that he does, but it's just easier for you just to hear it directly from him himself.
All right, man. Well, that's awesome. Well, we'll just get diving right into it. I want to, man, I'm trying to think when we first met for the, I have no idea. I think it's been years, dude. I mean, yeah, I think it's been,
I think we met when I worked for the Wonder Years, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think
okay,
it was.
So it had to be 2000 and, I mean, I worked for them from 09 to 15. So
yeah.
It was not the very early years, but was Upsides out? If so,
yeah.
And it was probably 2012, 11 or 12.
I think it was the, and you know what it was the early November tour. That's what it was. So
that was maybe 2011 or 12.
Yeah,
I think
it was. I think it was 11 or 12, because the Wonder Years were opening, but it probably should not have been. I mean, it definitely worked out that way.
That was after the first time we did Warp, which was summer 11.
Yeah.
I think it was, if it was either fall 11 or spring 12.
Yeah, definitely. It was one, I think, you know, I'm leaning towards spring 12 because I think I was getting ready to graduate. So that's what I'm leaning towards. Man, that time flies, dude.
That's almost 10 years, brother.
Yeah, shoot. Like you said, we're getting older.
It's dark. kind of. It's happy, but it can also be dark.
Yeah, it's all in your mindset, man. Hey, you can look at it a good way. You've lived a lot, all lived a lot of good years, and we've got plenty of time left.
Yeah, I blew my back out 2 weeks ago, so sometimes I'm looking at it in a sad way, but it is what it is, you know?
Yeah, man, that happens too. That's the downside of getting older, man. That is, everything starts to hurt a little bit more, and your body doesn't work the way it used to.
Yeah, I'm trying to convince myself I'm still 10 years younger. I'm not ashamed to say it. Like, I'm lifting these calves, throwing them around, and then I'm like, oh, there goes my lower back. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, buddy, no doubt. Well, I wanted to just, you know, kind of talk, you know, do this thing and just kind of talk about your whole career. I know you've been around forever. I think your whole life has probably been in music, right?
My entire adult life has been traveling.
Yeah.
Either playing my own music or working for bands in some capacity, or in the very little time that has been left over from those two things, just personal travel. I haven't been home. I haven't been in one place longer than a month or 5 weeks since I was 18.
Man, that's crazy.
Which is, you know, a thing, definitely something that has shaped me.
Sure.
Both the pros and the cons, there's no question. But I, at least I know it, you know, it's definitely a factor. I'm aware of it, so.
That's half the battle right there. I mean, again, knowing it, man, knowing what, obviously you've been doing this forever. You know the pros and cons, but you know it's like a routine, right? I'm sure.
No question about it.
Let me ask you, how'd you first get in? I mean, the story of music, getting into music is probably, pretty familiar, but I'm curious.
Yeah, it's probably similar to plenty.
Yeah.
Senior year of high, I mean, I was always into music, going to shows, different kinds of bands. I liked a lot of different stuff. Senior year, I decided I'm going to go to music college. And then 18, my bands at the time were playing with other bands when we could. I was going to school, and I really did not love it. I was in a subpar college that had a lot of people who I don't know why they were there, and it was very frustrating for me because I had excelled through high school, and I felt like I couldn't understand how people were not getting 100 on everything. It really came very easy to me.
Yeah.
And I did like doing the quote-unquote lab, where we're in the actual studio, where we had to do studio time and learn to record and signal flow and all this stuff. But definitely while there, I realized I did not want to be doing audio recording and engineering.
Yeah.
But, you know, the rest of my classes, which were music business, I thought, okay, this makes sense to me. But then a band that I totally loved from Connecticut lost their horn section, and me and a friend who were in a band at the time, who our bands were friends, said, yo, they that band toured, and we did not.
Yeah.
We him said, yo, we should join this band, and I dropped out. you know, I had a full ride. I think I might have owed like $2,000 at the end or something.
Sure,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, I left. I remember being in my Tuesday elective class, which was American musicals after 1920, 3 hours a week, 3 hours every Tuesday from 6 to 9, sitting there going, my brain is becoming clay. I'm not processing anything. And then making the decision to quit, took the ferry back and forth for practicing, and started touring with that band and started getting into touring and what it was about. I was the younger member. Everyone else was a little older.
Sure.
I learned a lot from them. And then we, like, just, it went from, like, we toured here and there to we're just a full-time band, like, doing 3 months at a time. And then, I'll never forget it, but there was a day where my singer was very torn about doing the business of the band or not. I don't remember why he was frustrated, but I remember him telling me, like, if you want to do this, you can do it because I'm not doing it. And that was kind of when I was like, okay, cool. I need to book our shows. And that was the first time I really started like figuring out how to book shows. He was helping me the whole time, but it was like MySpace only. That's all there was. It was nothing but MySpace. And reaching out to people on MySpace and or calling people, having to make phone calls. And by no means am I trying to say, like, it was so fucking hard, because I have friends who are 20 years older than me who tell me stories of when they were touring. My buddy Boofish touring with 7 Seconds, where he would have to drive into town, use a payphone to call the venue, and then ask how to get there.
Yeah.
There's nothing. There was nothing. We at least had the MapQuest directions printed out in a binder.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think our guitar player may have had a very ancient cell phone, but no one else in the band had that. And so that band kept on going, and then I joined another band, and then the first band ended. Second band, I parted ways with, and I was down on my ass, and another friend's band, who I love, Lost for Words, they're my boys, and they were like, we don't want to see you bummed out at home. Why don't you come out? And that was the first time I went out with another band not playing.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, and I was doing everything. I was one-man crew. So load, merch, and then I figured out TMing. Through other TMs, I picked up pieces, learned, toured with other bands, and other bands wanted me to work for them because I guess I'm a likable person. And I just kept getting jobs working for other bands. I am very loyal to my jobs, so most of the bands I've worked for, I spend many years with.
Yeah.
No fault in my friends who do crew, who jump from artist to artist. It's totally fine. It was just never really about money for me, because I came from playing and making nothing.
Yeah.
And I was very used to having no money. I have figured out how to live for years with legitimately no money. Thankful to my first band for showing me how to do that. Very grateful. I think I spent a lot of great years of my life with different eras of bands that I really feel I did a good service for in helping grow both their band and brand and product without knowing that I was involving my own knowledge and skills with music business.
Yeah.
Now a lot of it comes very natural to me, and I'm very grateful for that because years later, unbeknownst to me, my friend Henry asked me to start a new band, which I was like absolutely against because I was almost 30 at the time.
Yeah.
And did it, and now it's completely consumed me in a positive way. It's the happiest I think I've ever been.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm able to use the skills. My God, I got some bumpy roads here. the skills and the things that I picked up along the way towards my own craft now, and it's really, really pleasant. And
yeah.
Feels very, very what's the word I'm looking for here? Very satisfying.
Yeah.
I feel like all of those years of all that work. Here I am, able to apply it to something that I really, really care about. Not that I didn't care about that.
Sure,
definitely. All the bands I work for, I love them. That's why I was wanting to help to see them grow. It was very exciting for me because I, in turn, was growing myself. It's very satisfying to be applying that and now balancing working festival circuit and tour managing and random merch gigs and production jobs at home, at venues in New York, and then traveling almost full-time with my own band. It's been nice figuring it out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I keep flying, doing great. You guys doing a lot of things. You keep touring all the time, and you've got some big things going there. I mean, even obviously, you're still doing, 4 years strong, and they're about to have a record come out, and I mean...
Oh, yeah, we're very excited about that.
You're not slowing down anytime.
The band's hit it 4 year, as far as work goes, 4 year is about to hit it hard.
Yeah.
I really feel this is maybe their best record. It's a really great in-between I would say Enemy of the World in some way, shape, or form. And I know they took a lot of heat for in some way, shape, or form.
That's
but
a great
made
record.
A lot of fans. They made a lot of fans that you don't see at the normal punk and pop punk shows.
Sure.
That was like they tried going for something a little more mainstream, and it did click with some people. Disbanded for a little while after that.
Yeah.
So when they came back, they really weren't playing that material because it didn't feel like it sat well.
Yeah.
But I feel this new record, they figured out how to make their most sincere record and their heaviest record, and also something for fans of every era of their band.
Yeah.
No, there is no crazy synthesizers like the rogue humans on Twitter and Facebook groups love to chime in on. We wish that there were synths again. But, I think they really gave it their best shot, and we're going to do the same thing with the touring. They're going to be a band. I mean, most of the guys are in their early to mid-30s. You know, they got families and other jobs outside of this. And I'm happy to have been there already for over 5 years. This is 6 years now I've been with them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've done a lot for them. And it feels good. I feel like I've, again, furthered my career.
Yeah, definitely.
With them. It's been a very pleasant experience.
Yeah.
Something I thought was going to be a one-time thing. 2014 Warped with them, I thought it was going to be a one-time. And then here we are. I'm the only, from then, I've been crew with the band since then, and I'm the only crew member who has been there since 2014 now. We have some other people who have been here for a while, but we've gone through a rotation of crew. It's nice to kind of feel like, yeah, I've been there for this long now.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first two songs they released sound great, and it's two things that are really strange. That Enemy of the World is 10 years old, but also that in some way, shape, or form, kind of didn't go the way I thought it would. Because I think it's a great record for them. I think it's one of those things, like you said, they kind of shifted a little bit, it's really not that much different.
Not. Their fans, just like the older fans from the older era,
for
sure, when they were starting, the old records into Rise or Die, I think those people just were like really brutal with this shit's bad.
Yeah.
And 4 years back, to be fair, was like very. I remember there was. At this time, I was not working for them, but I was a fan and friend. And I remember them being like, this is, in interviews, being like, this is us, and this is what we're doing. And if you don't like it, too bad. Too bad. So that didn't really fit well with people.
Yeah.
But man, I became close with a lot of their like diehards, and those people always, are they going to play any other song besides Talk in the Middle on the next tour from that record? And it's always like, no, I mean, maybe. But like, so it's nice that I've seen firsthand that there are people who like appreciate what they did get.
Absolutely.
Now, the new record, I reiterate, I think it's a good in-between, and it really hits all avenues. There's definitely some new stuff, some new sounds, that they've never really had in their music before, which is exciting. But if we recall, they put that some of you will like this, some of you won't record out, where they had some, some songs, some originals that were very new for you.
Sure.
And so we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, man, I wanted to, kind of dive back into, this you a little bit, and just kind of, I know you've been with For Your Song, going to be your 6th year with them, and it's going to be obviously very busy, but what do you think, when you were going through it, and especially when you were learning, kind of learning on the go, it sounds like learning on the fly, through kind of, shifting from being in a band to just going out on tour with a loss for words, like what was the hardest thing, I guess, about kind of learning about what you do? What do you think, if you had to explain to someone, when you're talking about tour managing and all that, what do you think is the hardest part? If there is one, really. I mean, I'm sure there is, but what do you think is the hardest part of that?
I think for everyone it's different, but for me it's crystal clear what the hardest part was. And the hardest part for me was, I can't say is anymore because I'm playing again and I've found balance, but for a very long time, the hardest part was watching and helping other people live my dream.
Yeah.
It was very, not all the time, but every now and then there'd just be a really big moment for an artist that I was working for, and I just couldn't help but feel like, I know I'm part of the team. I almost feel like I'm a member. But I wish that this was my mind. I wish that this was me.
Sure.
Especially in moments where some people that, not even necessarily people that I'm working for, but people around me, I did a lot of years of Warped, hearing some people complaining about some things that I could not give two shits about, because I would truly do anything to switch the roles and let me be on stage playing to 4,000 people on a Wednesday in Noblesville, Indiana, in the rain. I don't care.
Yeah.
I would much rather be performing because I love to entertain. Now, like I said, I can't say that it is a factor anymore, because now, since I have my own music again, even when I have those moments on working, let's say, for 4 years, I always think of it, I'm just excited for them, and I tell myself, well, I hope I can get to something like this one day for myself.
For sure.
It fires me up now. It doesn't make me feel like a little bummed. It makes me more fired up. I'm excited for my friends. The big thing in the music industry is, as you are or aren't aware, the money on almost all avenues is decreasing.
Yep.
And so
everyone's
really wringing out that washcloth, trying to get anything they can. I'm talking management, booking agents, press, venues, promoters, everyone really, because just less people are going to live music events. That's just what it is. Less people are going. A lot of reasons why, but I guess for me, it's like, I don't want to take any of that for granted, because I'm still over here not making an amount of money that a lot of my other friends have been telling me for years. If you come work for these artists, you can make way more, and I'm making no money playing my own music. It's sheerly enjoyment and pride, because I think I convinced myself at one point that I would never do it again. I couldn't do it again.
Sure.
And I feel every day that I get to entertain, I feel very blessed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do so.
Yeah, absolutely. I get it, man. I know it's tough watching, other people, and not in the same exact sense, but I think in some ways, writing about music for 10 years now, I've seen a lot of people that, kind of started around the same time as I did, and they went off and did, bigger writing gigs. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, Evan, congratulations. Kind of like you said, you're happy for them. At the same time,
right.
You're like, fuck, man. Like, what the hell did I do wrong? And sometimes it's right place, right time, or whatever, what you want to chalk it up to. But I think eventually it all works itself out. Like you said, now you're back kind of doing your own music, and that's obviously going pretty well, and you got a lot of things going on there, but you're still here with 4 years strong and watching them. You're like, it's all good at this point. Works itself out eventually. It's kind of, sometimes it gets down, but you got to work through that bullshit, and then it eventually, hopefully, most of the time it pays off. But like you said, sometimes music, the way it's going is, it's a rough time to be starting, it's a rough time to be starting out, at least kind of starting,
yeah, for anyone,
starting out now.
Friends of mine that are taking assistant jobs, I don't know that these jobs are going to last. And touching on what you were saying, I get choppy. You may not even hear me now.
No, I can hear you. Yeah, as I said, it broke up just
do.
A little bit, but yeah.
2 seconds here, and I'll be at the peak of the Frog's Neck Bridge.
worries.
I'm coming down it now, so I should be good now.
No, perfect.
Something I was going to touch in with what you were saying as a writer, again, because of everyone's wringing out these washcloths trying to get every drop, sadly, it really makes me sad to watch the competition. Because for me, like we were saying, I'm happy watching my friends succeed and then me having my own separate, different level success.
Man, sure.
It really isn't like that for a lot of people. And
yeah,
I know that
no
you've
doubt.
Probably seen that. There's a lot of competition because, as we said, money on all avenues is getting less. So a lot of these people would rather see someone lose so they can gain.
Yep.
Which is a very common thing in any business. But in the music industry, where you think everyone's punk rock or everyone's on the same page, it really isn't that way.
For sure.
And that I've had plenty of my – everyone, I think, had their own stories with that. But I have plenty of really disgusting stuff like that that very disheartening.
Yeah, no doubt.
You want to feel like, yo, that there's less to go around now, but we're all kind of in this. And I don't know. The competition just kind of breaks my heart a little bit, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't get jealous when my friends' bands get support offers that I was hoping that I would get. Why would I? I want them to succeed. They're my friends. They like me. If they succeed.
Yeah, no doubt.
And maybe they'll take us out. Hopefully they get bigger. I hope they
do
get
bigger.
Sure. I hope they blow up. I hope all my friends' bands blow up.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll take our old punk asses out. You know, why would I want them to fail? Well, why would I be jealous of me not getting an opportunity because a friend of mine got it? It's like, it is what it is, man. It's like, I'm glad that we did this together, and I'm really happy for you. It'd be like if it was me and you, last two contestants on a game show, one of us has got to win, but there's that 2 seconds of like, damn it, I lost, but then you got to be happy.
Yeah.
To some degree, it's your friend.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I think it's always rough watching, you know. I mean, sometimes I think there's a little bit of, I think you can bit like, hell, I think there is like a healthy balance of like slight jealousy. Like, damn, like I wish I got that. You know, like you said, I wish I won, but to be like, you know what, fuck you for getting, like what kind of, you know, I've never got that, you know, because I think if you feel like that way, then you really got questioned how you over, you know, if I win something and it's like you said, if you were to come to me and be like, you know what, I'm pissed that you won. And I'm like, well, why? Like, I got to reevaluate a friendship at that point. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I would support anyone if they did something great. Like you said, you want everyone to succeed because, you know, maybe it comes back around. But even if it doesn't, you know, fuck it. That's your friends. You know, those people you care about deeply. So you want them to be happy, however that means, you know. And I think that's, like you said, it's unfortunate that it's becoming such a big mindset. You know, such a big kind of movement. And that in this industry and most others, you know, are certainly like that. But I think this one, like you said, since money is running so far thin, it's just getting worse, you know, and it's
and it's been
rough,
dude, it's been happening, I mean, since I started.
Sure.
And I'm sure before me, but like I will never forget working for certain artists and being on certain tours years ago where I was like, oh my God, these headlining artists are threatened by how well the support bands are doing, that they're treating us poorly. Because they're upset that we're doing better than them or doing better than they expected us to do. But at the same time, it's like you took us as support because you thought that we were going to add tickets to your show that you benefit from on the back end. So I don't understand. But hey, man, like everyone's different. You know, everyone's different.
Yeah. Yep. That's part of the beauty of it in ways, you know, but it can also be just like, man, come on, like, you know, it's gotta be, you could be different, but I think there's, you know, some level of like basic kind of you know, human decency, I guess, in a way, you know, of like,
right.
You know what, yeah, I mean, you brought us out like you said and that specific situation, so we'd help you out, and now we're helping you out, and we're helping you out too much. Is that even possible? Like,
we're exactly. I mean, but to be fair, I've also had the opposite. I've very much gone out with bands working for that were not headlining, who, you know, toured with bands who knew that they were the headliner and that they were doing very well and really took care of the opener. Oh, dude, straight up, not to name drop, But to this day, I always a very common question I get: what are some of your bad experiences? What bands are bad, or what artists are bad? I get that all the time.
Yeah.
I'm good on answering that one, but I will gladly answer the opposite side of that question. Good Charlotte, those gentlemen were massive. They were a massive radio band with many, many hits. Their band was very big. They're still a big band. Smaller now, but they were tremendous. And that is a band I've had the pleasure of touring with many times now. And still to this day, they are some of the kindest, most genuine, giving headliner band I've ever been out with. Like, coming up to me, not the band I'm working for, but coming up to me, a crew person, to ask me if there's anything that they could do for me, because they think I'm funny and they like having me around. I don't work for them. I'm working for the opening band.
For sure.
But that goes a far way. I will never forget their kindness and their hospitality. And so, a band like that who was that big, that's what I try to do on every time I'm headlining. When I'm a headlining TM, I know sometimes it might seem like I'm neglecting my responsibilities, but I'm not. I'm just making sure that all of the bands are taken care of. I want to make sure everybody is feeling good. I don't want anyone on tour being uncomfortable or being bummed out. That sucks.
Yeah, no doubt.
Especially when I got to hear it at the end or through the grapevine. It's like, I wish you said something.
Yeah.
Home band, when I'm out touring, I can't help it. It's what I do for work. So by default, any tour I'm on, every day, I'm always making sure, are all the bands we're on tour with good? Is the promoter good? Is the promoter losing money? If so, I do not. Both of these promoters are my friends at this point. I don't want to see anybody eating shit, losing out from the music industry. You know, I try and respect the artists that I work for's requests for things. But there is also a time where I'm like, hey, listen, do we really need that? I know that the show thought and they're already losing a lot of money. It would be a massive gesture if we could, you know, cut on this just for today. It goes a long way, man. Like, it's just another side of the music industry.
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah. I mean, people remember a lot of it is relationship based, man. And I mean, I think that's one of the things that when I first started doing this, I was so ignorant to it. And not that I was ever treating people bad, but I think there was sometimes I would especially starting out with when I was in high school, I was going into my junior year of high school, I was just kind of not as, overly kind, I wasn't certainly rude to, publicists, but sometimes I would, not even reply back a simple thing, it's just small stuff that in such a, big music world, but so small at the same time, so inconceivably small. And I wish that I knew that back then. And I would tell anybody that now. I mean, you think about bands, you think about massive, even artists that are on massive labels, and I was thinking of this woman that I worked with, name dropping, but the publicist for Dana Shea, I worked with them a few times, and she kind of came from this alternative punk background. And I was what the fuck? How the hell did you get here? And it's people kind of come up from everywhere. You never know where they're going to go.
And you never know what people's background is going to be. You just don't know until you know, until you're in front of your face.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There's definitely a level of, respect and comfort and understanding that needs to be had with this.
No doubt. Absolutely. I agree, man. It's crazy. And I wanted to ask you.
Actually worked this time.
What's happening, bro? We're on day 3 in the studio.
Yeah? How's it been going?
You're finishing up for the day, and then a break, and then I'll spend my late evening working on fine-tuning some horn parts, on our bounced-down versions of the songs.
Yeah.
And then we start up again tomorrow morning recording.
Yeah, there we go. That's awesome. Yeah. That's been going. Seems like it's been going well. Where are you guys recording at?
Lumberyard with Nick and Nick Brazizi and Ace Enders.
Yeah.
Arthur Enders, have you?
Yeah.
So Henry's laying down some vocals right now, and we're really pumped on these songs. For fans of Link 80, Andrew WK, Sum 41, Less Than Jake, Motion City Soundtrack, and I guess that's it for now, because that's what all horn lines sound like.
Yeah.
Based off of the horns. The horns sound like those artists.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, you guys got like a dream team going on there with you, Nick, and Nate. They'll be
they make the songs well. Better. They take our songs that we think are pretty good, and then they make them a lot better. So
yeah.
I'm happy to be here. We love tracking here, and our buddy John DeClario at Nada Studios does all our mixing now.
Yeah.
So he's going to mix the EP, and then we'll just keep on trucking along.
Yeah.
Creating.
When do you guys want to have it out by?
August.
August? Summer. Okay.
Yeah. It's time for another EP.
Yeah. Awesome.
Just, we just keep dumping out music, man. Unbreakable came out in December, and then this will be out not many months later. It's nice to just keep having,
That'll work for the attention span, listeners. Shit comes so fast at them, and you got to keep putting out music unless you're, just going to put out albums every 6 months. But, other than that, when you're building that fan base, it's kind of important to do that.
Yeah, I hope people think so.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome.
Hey. We'll see.
Well, the last thing that you and I were talking about a few days ago before when we were did this the first time. We ended up talking about the music industry, how kind of tiny it is, because
mm-hmm.
You were talking about how the Good Charlotte being one of the most hospital bands, for you.
Oh, absolutely. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome
definitely.
People. They care about even the crew. I'm just a crew for a support band. But the fact that they remember me and go out of the way to ask me, not just the band that I'm working for, but me if I need anything. Every day, not just like once, every day meant a lot. So
yeah, it is, man.
Good
it's,
people, man.
It is, yeah, absolutely. I've never met him, but I've only heard good things about him through you and through a few mutual friends I have. And it's always seems like no one's got anything bad to say about him, despite them being around for 20 years and having such, success the whole time.
Yeah, not everyone is like that, but it's nice to know that there are some. As long as there are some, I think that's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I just wanted to kind of get back here on the phone with you and finish a few things that we wanted to talk about. It was mainly just Keep Flying, because I know we talked a little bit about that earlier. And I talked about some other projects, obviously you being with 4 Years Strong and everything like that. But I want to give some attention to Keep Flying, because I think you guys have a good thing going. You guys got sort of something special over there.
Yeah, I hope so. We got a definite great community that have cared about our band now. I see fit in all different other scenes, but then like they also like our music and our product and our energy, which is nice because I don't really quite know where we fit in. I don't care any longer.
Yeah.
I truly don't. Like, we're doing our thing the way we want to do it. It's nice to say that at the end of the day, we've been doing this thing the way that we wanted to do it on our terms. Not that they were not looking for people who want to help this, like people who want to join the team and make it stronger, of course, we'll take that. But, we haven't really had too much. We got to work for what we get. And that's what we're doing. We've been doing that. We're workers.
Yeah.
We are workers, and we're happy to work. I'm later in life now. From this, still in a punk band, but I'm the happiest I've ever been. So I guess that's just how it's got to be.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, it's cool that you're doing, something that obviously you've been in bands before, but spent a lot of your time working with or working for bands over the past many years. So it's cool that you're able to get back into this and, do something like, I know you mentioned earlier that it was more of a passion project, right? It's not something that you're going in just to make, I want money, obviously, because it's harder than
isn't.
That,
It never was, clearly. Yeah. I've been actually choosing to not work many months a year to do this for no money. So happily. Granted, I think every smaller musician every smaller artist, whatever your art is, goal is to make the amount of money that you would be making at work when you're off from work to contribute to your art from your art. I think that's everyone's goal. I don't think anyone's goal anymore these days should be that is your only income. But if your If you can make the lost income that you lose from the time away from work from your art, I think that's great. That's the dream. Like you can take off work for 2 weeks but still make the money you would have made so you can continue to survive and have a life.
Yeah.
So that's what I think everyone's goal should be. If you can, if that is good with you, then for only from there you can grow.
Yeah.
I think that's a good attitude to have. That's at least that's mine. Everyone's different, but that's my attitude.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, it's definitely a good one. You know, it's tough, obviously, to do that, you know, and especially when you mention when you're starting out and kind of going through it and working through it, you know, working through all that shit. It's can definitely beat you down, but you've got that experience. And I know everyone kind of around you has that experience too. So it's just a little bit of hitting the reset button with this band, at least.
Yes, it definitely is for me. Some of my guys are 10 years younger, so
yeah.
They've all of these guys have been in bands and done the thing to some degree, some more than others, but
sure.
I don't know. We got a healthy thing going right now.
Yeah.
We're rocking as a 5-piece right now. We have a friend who fills in on trumpet trombone.
Yeah.
And that's the immediate future for right now. That's
sure.
where we're at. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to say, too, I think one of the things that's interesting, another aspect of your band is what's so appealing to me is, you know, seeing you guys live a few months back or whenever that was. And it was that just some, you know, small, you know, venue here in Columbus. I don't even remember the name of it, but it was cool because it's just like, you guys are just having blast, you know, and I know that you're not up there like rehearsing what you guys do on stage or anything like that, but it's cool to see you guys, especially you running around having a bunch of fun. And
oh,
I think
it's my favorite part of the day. That is A, where I get my most exercise, and B, where I am able to expel all of the energies in, and I just do it in a very lighthearted way. But that's how it's always been for me. It's always been that way. I like to entertain.
Yeah.
I do like to make people laugh. Our lyrically, our songs are quite serious, but we present them in a very lighthearted way, especially live. It is really a party live.
Yeah.
I hope that you can see us when we're at one of our like either home markets, or there's a couple of places not home that we do really well.
Sure.
Chicago, Austin, stuff like that. But it would be when the crowd is having fun too, that's when the show is just like, well, I'll never forget this one.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. You send them home with something a little bit extra. You know, everyone can go.
Yeah,
there's
you
always
might not like the music, but come on. At least give me the dab up on the fact that we have a good time. We're happy to be there.
Oh, yeah, that definitely accounts for a lot, you know, whether people go in knowing what your band is, or people are like, the music was okay, but they were fucking fun, you know. And
I'll take it. That's
that
fine with
something.
Me, bro. That's totally fine. If someone says that on Twitter, that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Our music certainly isn't for everyone, but I think unless you really hate fun, our live show, you can get something. Everyone can get something from our live show, unless you hate fun, which there are those people. And I'm not good. That's fine.
Yeah.
No, nothing wrong with that. Do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they weren't going to be a fan anyway, right? So, I mean, one of those things is that's all right. You're looking for people that are there for that. And I think when you go to a concert, and especially if you're not expecting it, you're either going to blow them away or they're going to be like, what the fuck is going on? You know, and that's all
listen,
right. So.
We set up an audio device at our release show in December for Unbreakable at a whim. Like, just was like, let's just do this. And everyone was having so much fun, and we had a great time while also being completely washed away in chaos. We listened back to that audio, and it's actually, like, 85%, like, good enough, and that's it. Straight up, it comes out in April on vinyl. We're releasing it on vinyl in April.
Nice.
We're a small band, man. We're a DIY band. We're putting out a live record. I sat here and looked at a list of my friends' successful bands, and none of them have that.
Yeah.
I don't know why. We
didn't
even, we just recorded, no edits, no, because we're a punk band, so let's just have fun.
Yeah.
It's not 100%, but it's like 85%, and that's good enough.
Yeah. That's all right. I mean, that's all it needs to be. You know, it doesn't need to be perfect. No one wants it to be perfect.
You hear the crowd, and, man, I still, like, get chills from some of the parts listening to the live set. Still get chills.
Yeah.
So.
That's cool. Hopefully they get that same. I mean, they will. I mean, people that were there, people that wanted to be there, you know, that's going to be one of those cool things. That it's something just extra. And you mentioned, I know why
I don't know why a lot of more bands don't do it, because I think it's fun. It's not too hard. I mean, obviously, you're doing the show you've already been doing, you know, so.
Different kinds of people, man. Perfectionist.
Yeah.
If something, you know, vocals aren't good or flat or
sure.
something, like, every single one of us at some point in this live record is out of tune.
Yeah.
The horns, the guitars, the bass, everything is every now and then a little bit. But, like, fine. Not bad. Like, you're playing a live show. In
yeah.
a 200 in an 87 cap room that has 275 people in it.
Yeah.
So it's pretty good. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
That,
and not from the board. It's just a device. It's an audio
yeah.
device in the back of the room just on a stand. That's pretty good, if you ask
yeah.
me.
Yeah. I mean, 85% of that atmosphere is definitely good. That's definitely good
right.
enough.
Right.
Did you have you really had 275 people in that was it, what, 87 caps, is that what you said?
That's what it is. That's
oh,
our
man.
That's our building, baby. That's what we
yeah.
do. That's it. That's
cool.
That's a beautiful annual music hall.
That just makes me like sweat thinking about it. You know, like that's just
it is a warm building when it's sold out. It is rather warm. It's
yeah.
warm when it's not sold out.
Yeah.
So
at least you did it in December. That'll give a little bit of a not too much heat from the outside, but it don't think it matters at that point.
What?
At least yeah, absolutely. At least it's in December, you know, so it's a colder month, but you've got that
oh,
many
yeah,
people, I'm not sure it matters too much.
No, the back door opens in between bands, and that smoke is just pouring out of the people's
oh,
bodies.
Oh, man.
Just that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it. We're in the studio, and, you know, live record out in April, new record out in August. We're going to get some singles together for May, June, July, a bunch of music videos.
Yeah.
Maybe do a split 7-inch with some friends' bands, and maybe
sure.
do some reimagined songs acoustically on record as well. Like, we're just coming up with as much content and ideas as we can, besides the fact that we also tour fairly relentlessly.
Yeah.
We're pretty much on tour every month.
Yeah.
At least some of the month. So it's a lot, you know, and
yeah.
everyone's got to work. And Henry is married.
Yeah, oh,
and
I didn't know
you
that.
Guys all have jobs, and I tour with other bands for work. It's like
yeah.
our days are quite filled.
Yeah.
So
yeah, never home, but that's what it is, man.
No, not often.
How you like
I'll be
it.
Home one day this week.
Yeah.
One day I'll be home on Sunday for one day.
Yeah.
And then I'll be home for like 3 days in like mid February, and then I will be gone the rest of February, all of March, all of April.
Yeah.
That's just how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure summer is going to be I'm sure summer's not slowing down. Summer's usually a real busy month, you know, for
summer
season, I should say.
Yeah, yes. This is actually the first time in years that my whole summer I don't actually have any work.
Oh, really?
Which is great because it's good for KF with rolling out the new record.
Yeah.
We're
going to
be
yeah.
doing tours in like May, June, July, and August.
Sure.
So I'll be able to concentrate heavily on that, which is what I want, you know?
Yeah.
So, and have a little bit of time off to maybe go do something for myself, maybe fly somewhere.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Absolutely. Well, that's interesting. I mean, you travel so much with, you know, with music and for touring and all that. So when you do have the ability to say, I'm going to go somewhere for myself, where are some places you want to go? You know, I mean, that you haven't been or something that's sacred
haven't
to you in
been,
that sense.
Madagascar is my number one.
Yeah.
I haven't been there. India is my number two. Those are places that, like, South Africa and Madagascar and India are places that I would like to spend, like, 3 weeks or more.
Yeah.
Because it's just a big trip, and I don't know that I'll return. And I just
sure.
want to know that I was immersed in as much of it as I can.
Yeah.
So that's why I haven't gone to those places. I do the Caribbean all the time, and I've done
sure.
Europe plenty of times, and South America, and that's great too. It's just I can do those with like 4 days. I can do that.
Yeah. Oh,
I can
absolutely.
Do Costa Rica in 4 days and feel fine.
Yeah.
but like those places, Southeast Asia, if I was to go for vacation, I'd want to like stay for weeks and jump from different countries and just see
yeah.
a lot. I like to take as much as I can in. I am the annoying guy who gets to Disney at 8 a.m. and wants to stay till 11 p.m. because I'm here for the whole day, whereas most people do not want to get there open and be there till close.
Yeah.
So that's how I am with all my trips. I'm like trying to see as much as I can in as little time as possible and squeeze it all
sure.
in. I could be an annoying person to travel with because of that. And I know it, but that's, I like to be overstimulated.
Hey. Hey, that's so fair. I mean, you know, when you're traveling, you obviously are, you know, you're going somewhere. I look at whenever I travel, I'm always like, when I think about where I want to stay for, like, you know, Airbnbs or something like that, I'm like, well, hopefully I'm not here too much. You know, hopefully I'm here to sleep and then get up and go out, you know, because especially if you're going to a different country and things like that, there's so much to do, you know, so much to immerse yourself in that you can
sit
in a bed at home.
Another reason why people don't want to travel, I am the cheapest person when it comes to that. I never care about where I'm sleeping because it's just sleep.
Yeah.
I need a place to lay down and go to sleep, maybe take a shower, maybe.
Yeah.
So I am always like, oh, that's cheapest. Okay, it says there's bugs. Let's not get that place. Let's get the place that's $10 more. Like, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
And I like to save money that way because I like to spend money on food.
Sure.
Vegan food, it's like I'm always down to drop the money. I don't care.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I got to make up the money somewhere else. I look for cheap flights and cheap lodging always.
Yeah. That's right. Like you said, as long as it's not infested with bugs, you can sit, right? You can make
it's
happen.
Fine. US and Europe and South America is easy because I've got friends, so I just have places to crash. You know,
sure.
I'm blessed. I'm blessed to have that. But those people have a place to crash from me on Long Island if they ever needed that. So it works both ways, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, man, it sounds awesome. I'm glad that you've got a lot going on and keeping yourself busy through Keep Flying and through 4 Years Strong and everything like that. It seems like you've never slowed down, which is just the way it should be.
Feels good, man.
Yeah.
Things feel good right now.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, you guys are I think we had last time, after the call kind of got messed up last time, I think you'll be back in Cleveland with the Silverstein Tour, right? Or Cleveland, Cincinnati, one of those.
Yes,
two.
I believe so.
That's
the plan right now. When does this podcast air?
This will be in probably 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay. Then I could say it.
Yeah,
I have to, like, we lost a trombone player, so, like, the original idea for this Ribbit Fish tour we had in February was that I wasn't going to go to work because I have the four-year thing, but, like, now it's really not possible for me to not play. And if it was any other, like, smaller tour, it would be fine, but it's, like, it's like big rooms and a big look, so I actually have to inform 4 Year that I, like, can't do the first 2 weeks, so pray for me. Hopefully they're fine with that. They should be, as I've busted my ass for years.
Sure.
But, like, I just need, like, we have other crew that are fine. It's not a headliner, so it should be okay. But,
yeah,
I mean, there's always a chance I'm not on the tour if they decide that they would rather have someone else come out since I can't make the first 2 weeks. I hope that's not the case.
Sure, yeah.
As long as it's not, I'll see you in Ohio. But if
it is,
then I'll see you with KF.
That's right. We'll figure out that time some other way.
See.
I'm sure you'll be in Ohio plenty of times, whether it's 4 Year or Keep Flying. I mean, it'll
no question.
Always.
Well,
awesome. Well, that's it, man. I appreciate it. I'm glad we're gonna get back on here do the last, you know, 15 minutes, put this thing together, and looking for all that.
Yeah,
this
was fun, man.
Yeah,
always down to talk.
We'll have to do it again sometime, and we'll start talking even outside this a little bit more.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about not music stuff.
That's right.
Talk about Lost and Watchmen and people that are good at Fortnite, and I just watched someone play Fortnite for the first time ever this week.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and that's it. We can talk about that.
And we could do a whole episode on Lost. We might have to do that sometime. Do a whole
episode
on Lost.
We could talk for too long.
Oh, yeah. They have to do two
parts. If you want to do just an episode on Lost, I'm in. I'm down to do a 40-minute episode on just Lost.
Tell you what, we're going to do that. We'll revisit once I get this thing launched going. A few episodes.
You got it.
We'll do it.
Sounds good, brother.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate it. We'll
talk
soon. All
right, man. Be safe.
Absolutely. You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. See ya. Bye. We'll be right back.